Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ThinkBigRadio.com. I'm Ray Vision, your host, and you're listening to Ponder This. Ponder This is a series focusing on the art of allowing, trusting, being, and finding inner self. Today, my guest is Linda De Jesus. She's a retired college psychology professor at Medgar Evers College, student service counselor, and has acted as a director of administration. Linda has worked overseas in China for 2 years at the Zhejiang University in Hangzhou, China. To some, she's also known to be a community activist. Linda is currently the chairperson of the Education Committee for the Brownstoners of Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, New York. She also serves on several community activities. I look forward to pondering some thoughts with Linda De Jesus.
Linda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? And
good,
thanks for having
me on. You're welcome. You're very welcome. How did I get that intro right? Did I get even the Chinese right? Was that?
You got most of it right. It's Xinjiang and Hangzhou, but that's okay. Nobody gets that part right.
Okay. But yeah, I was trying to find the pronunciation on those YouTube pronunciation videos. So, you know, I was trying.
I know. So, well, you know, when I was there for 2 years, sometimes I would think I was saying things in Mandarin, and they would go, "Oh, I don't speak English." I'm going, "That's Chinese, in case you want to know." So yeah, it's tricky because the tones have to be just right.
Yes, they do. They do. I had a friend who was Asian in college, and if you said one word improperly, basically you were swearing. You could be saying, "Oh, the plane is taking off." I think that was the meaning, or you could be saying the F word. So,
exactly. They have four tones. Right? They have
four
tones. And so, just an example: the word "ma" can be mother. Mm-hmm. It can be white. It could be you can call somebody a big white horse.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like ma 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 ma,
wow.
And it all means something different.
Yeah.
And Cantonese is even more difficult. I think they have like 7 or 8 tones.
Wow. How well did you do over there when you were there?
I had a great job. At that time, I was working at the university, and the government wanted their researchers and PhD students to participate in international conferences, and
mm-hmm.
those conferences are in English.
Okay.
So my task was to get them comfortable enough in English to be able to do this and to be able to take questions from the floor in English because they could read and write because they read the U.S. journals. However, that listening speaking stream was
mm-hmm.
not there. So that was my job. So it was an interesting population, but I had to also understand their research.
Oh,
so that was really tricky.
Okay.
And they were doing
okay.
some really marvelous stuff.
Right. The topic of today is education. And let me
mm-hmm.
just ask you this, and I still want a little bit more of your background and introduce yourself from your point of view of who Linda De Jesus is. But let me just ask this question since we're on the topic of you got a chance to see the education over there. How would you compare
mm-hmm.
it to American education?
Well, you know, since they're educating such large populace, it's extremely
mm-hmm.
very test orientated. And as the government is moving further and further west and educating more and more people, it is a lot very test orientated and memorization. But while I was there, one of the things the government had me do is go into the rural areas and help the teachers teach in a different way. Because what
mm.
they did realize that this does make them successful at one level, but as they want to become more innovative and creative, they have to think differently about their education. So they're moving and they're changing and they're understanding things different. But an interesting piece where I think their brain works well, because even though they're test-orientated and they can write with American characters, however,
uh-huh.
they all do calligraphy, which is very creative and artistic, tapping the other side of the brain.
Wow.
So, it's very, very different, and it's even hard to explain because it also connects to the philosophy of Taoism and Confucianism. Mm. And a child's obligation to his family, his school, his community, which is very, very different.
That's interesting. The calligraphy aspect of the art, like you said, is using both sides of the brain, but are you also saying there's a cultural element that also is influencing the child?
Of course, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They grow up with, and there's a lot of different factors. Their culture is so different. One was the one child rule that had about 1,000 different exceptions. However, part of their Confucianism was the fact that if you have one child, they wanted to have one male child, but it was the male child who had the obligation to take care of the families.
So there
was then created an overpopulation of male children. However, as they talk, they'll tell you, we're kings and queens, those children. Because remember, they have two parents and four grandparents that only doted to this one child.
Wow.
It's multi-layered. It's not.
Right.
And so they're expected to succeed because they have to succeed for their family. They have to succeed for their country. It's like an imperative.
Yeah. That's a lot more pressure.
Very, very different.
Yes. Very interesting. So tell us a little bit more about who you are, a little bit about your history and education, and, we're going to get this conversation started.
Okay. As you said in the bio, I spent most of my years in higher education. I taught psychology at Mega Rivers College. I also was part of the student service department while I was there. And was director of admissions. And it was always great to be a part of. When Mega Evers, I was there from almost their beginning. So watching the college grow from little stores all over, a rickety bus that took students from one building to another to several campuses now.
Okay.
So it was great being part of that process. And it was also really good experience for me. Since all my life I have spent in predominantly white schools to be in this black environment, working with my own people, to say.
Which
creates a different kind of commitment. So that was me. When I left Megger, I went to the College of New Rochelle. I was at Queens College before I went to China. When I came back from China, I went into full retirement mode. Well, my daughter says, retirement is relevant because I probably go to more meetings now because of my education committee than I did when I was working. And Tyranny Education Committee threw me to another whole basket of looking at education because I always worked at the college level. Now I'm looking at elementary and middle schools. I have volunteers in all the schools in District 16, working right now with a task force that's coming out of the councilman's office, a piece of it from Mayor de Blasio's wife on mental health, a person from the Samaritan that deals with suicide, and together we're coming up with and developing a program to deal with some of the issues around cyberbullying and teenage suicide. And how we're looking at it is not necessarily student contact right now, but train the teachers to be able to see the signs that they weren't seeing before.
Right.
So the teachers, the parent coordinators, even maybe one of the school administrators, like there are signs. But if you don't know the signs, you don't even know what resources to get for them.
Right.
Because the city has resources, But you have to be able to see the signs and recommend them.
And see, I think that's
so
a little backwards.
We want to put more eyeballs in the school.
And why does it seem like, for me, it seems like that's backwards. It seems like the school should already have the eyeballs. If we're sending our children to this public location to get an education, I'm not going to put it in that babysitting realm, but it kind of is. You know, they are under the charge of the DOE, the Department of Education. Right? I got that right. And so someone should always, whether it's the teacher, the principals, the hall monitors, I guess they still have hall monitors. I haven't been in school.
No, I don't think they have too much hall monitors. The teachers actually walk the students down to, like, the lunchroom or to the gym. However, every school has a school counselor. Every school has a parent coordinator. They're trained for certain things, but they're not necessarily trained to look for this type of kind of situation. And I'll give you an example. Even as a college counselor, and though we all had backgrounds in psychology, when we had the AIDS epidemic, we all had to go back for retraining.
Even though you have skills,
Each mm-hmm. different situation requires another level of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
So even
I understand the skill set, but and also, you know, tools could change in terms of what children are doing.
Exactly. So especially like, okay, the situation now with there's an uptick in adolescent suicide. And
mm-hmm.
and the difference is there's a whole lot of information on what to look for, symptoms, but with the teenagers, the signals are different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not talking, they talk to each other. They don't talk to the parents. They're not going to talk to their teacher. And so you never know where the eyeball has to be. It could be the lunchroom monitor who hears a conversation.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's very, very different, and it's also very different because all the children now walk around with cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, the technology changes the situation.
Right.
So you have all these factors. You have like a confluence of factors. It's not straight black and white.
Right. Not like it used
and
to
the
be.
Solution is not going to be straight black and white.
Right.
And that's why one organization can't be the only answer.
Right.
You've got to put multiple people into coming up with many different solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Depending on the school, the situation, the economics of the community, all those things factor in differently.
Right. I guess where our children are at now, even where our families are at now, and where society is at now, I can keep going. Maybe where the universe
really
is at now. It's
exactly.
It's a very serious situation. I get that, but there's so much. You know, you have a family. You know, in my era, most mothers were home. You know, watching the children. You know, at least my mom was home. She was an at-home entrepreneur. She was a seamstress, so she was there to meet and greet and, you know, do the debriefing, you know, after school. We have, you know, a lot of divorces, and then our children are exposed to so much. You know, you can get free porn on your internet or on your phone.
And they know how to do it better than me because I wouldn't know how to find it.
Right. And, you know, these kids that are, you know, able to get recipes for bombs and all this other stuff, and, you know, you talked a little bit about the cyberbullying, and you did suggest that I see this 13 Reasons Why. You know, and the fact that, you know, one picture can go around, it's very interesting that you've got these group, I guess, I guess it's no different than a Facebook group. And it's kind of interesting, too, that with technology, because I'm into technology and into media,
mm-hmm.
that the schools haven't figured out a way to take technology and I guess that would be a lot of coding, and decipher, like, if somebody was sending something up from the cloud from within the school, or, you know, everybody that in the school had a cell phone and that cell phone was registered with a number of that student, where they can catch some of the stuff that was going out. I mean, that would be a little bit more like Big Brother watching, but...
it is. But it might,
you know,
it might take something like Corey, it like that. I don't know. But it is an issue that has to be addressed. But you know what? There was always
mm-hmm.
bullying. The difference in the
yes.
bullying now is you might have had a fight with a person who might have told a person. Now the whole school knows.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference, because there was only bullying in the schoolyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was, yeah. And the other
question
is,
if we were to erase judgment, I mean, I'm going big and wide.
Okay.
If we were to erase judgment, because bullying is a form of intimidation.
Yes.
Intimidation stems from a sense of shame. They're going to shame you for something. Whether the guy is bigger and, you know, oh, you're so small, you're so scrawny, I got you, you know, you're going to do this for me because, you know, or, you know, the child is, you know, a brainiac or a nerd or a geek, and, you know, unfortunately the one that might be failing in school is, you know, jealous of that. You know, are schools
Correct.
Really creating or educating our children in tolerance and understanding diversity
No.
in a better way than looking at everything as being a judgment?
Now, let me give you a current example that's happening right here in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and something
mm-hmm.
happening in Harlem, okay?
Okay.
You know, because we're extremely gentrified communities now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole new population of people. And so what do we have? We have segregated schools in gentrified communities. They created their own traditional public school and took over too. And because they're such a forceful set of parents, they're taking charge of the curriculum. In the traditional public, they're not sending their children to the charters. They wanted them in public school. And I'll tell you, the woman who's head of that committee came to my house to tell me, we spent $1 million on our property. We cannot afford independent schools. We're going to make two schools work for our children. Rather than they say, we moved into a black community, we're going to integrate our schools in so that their children and the black children that were already here can learn to know each other and be tolerant of each other from the very beginning. So, no, we still have segregated schools. That's the problem.
Right.
And it's happening
that's
up in Harlem. It's happening up. It's definitely happening in Bed-Stuy, because I have my hands on the pulse on that one.
Okay.
And they have the ear of the politicians. You talk about tolerance. Where are they going to learn tolerance?
Right. If the adults in the community that are coming in, especially to a black community, are not
exactly.
even recognized.
They want their own separate circle.
Yeah.
So what do you
yeah.
have? You have the traditional public schools that are predominantly black, and these children don't even see a white child. Wouldn't it have
mm-hmm.
better if they spread it out and everybody learns?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Everybody
of course.
Learns. They had, to me, missed the best learning opportunity for themselves
yes.
as well as for the children.
Exactly.
So that's
what
we look at the test scores, and so we want to do it this way. If you work as hard and at whatever school your child's in, you'll push those test scores up. It's happened
mm-hmm.
in other communities. rather say we've got a career on our own. And they're getting, remember, these they're into the traditional public schools. These are not charters. These are they've got the traditional, because we have a lot of charters. They're not, their kids are not going, and they're not going to the charters because they know that their educational philosophy is not what they want for their children. The philosophy from the charters is what you want for black children, not for their children. So where is it going to come from?
Right. Right. Well, that just leads to what is education? Because obviously we've left the true meaning of what education is and moved it into something else. I don't know if there's a name for it that I have.
Well, you know what it is? It's not a answer, and that's the challenge right now, especially with the new Secretary of Education. So as she talks about choice, vouchers, traditional public schools, charter schools, independent schools, homeschooling, all of these are part of choices. What does that mean? And there's arguments, pros and cons on that. So if you look at traditional public schools, that was created originally to educate immigrants during the whole immigrant migration after World War II. And then as the U.S. became, so it was actually to socialize these new people that came in from Europe. It was a socialization process. Then as we created industry and became an industrial country, education was there to raise people to work in industries. That means we don't need you to think. We need you to get the job done.
Right.
However, if social scientists have forecasted for years, since the height of industrialization, that by the 21st century, that we would not be an industrial country, that the skills and the skill techs would be needed to go into the 21st century would be different. However, the educational curriculum didn't change. Hence your problem. They're still thinking it's teacher-centered. The teacher gives the information, you memorize it, we text you, bottom line.
Right, right. And the results of our children into...
And that's
Go ahead. I'm saying I was raised in that. I mean, the Industrial Revolution happened way before I was in school.
Exactly.
Even though I thought we were getting a better education than what these kids are getting now. So the results for these children now in a digital age, because we've truly left the the Industrial Revolution, and now we're in the revolution
That's long gone and over and never to come back.
Right, right. So what are parents and what are you doing as or saying in trying to make this change? Are we looking to change how we educate our children? Or are we?
I think that's the fight, Corey, and that's why there's so many pros and cons. So if you take the parents that talk about school choice, right? They're saying, well, I can choose to send my child to a school that I think is a better fit, and if this is what I need, I should be able to do it, which includes vouchers, and which is going to be a disaster. And I'll tell you what, this poor people will never be able to take advantage of vouchers. Let me backtrack on that. By vouchers is that in New York City, they spend $20,000 per student, in the public schools. So if you take that $20,000 and say the parent could get this money to send their child, let's say, to an independent school, okay? There's not an independent school in New York State that's less than $40,000. That means poor people still could not use a voucher system.
Right.
Okay? So then it becomes about economics and then class again.
Here
because
we go.
Poor children are still out of that equation.
Right. Okay. Back into the
So they're back in, exactly. And then on top of that, a lot of what they call private schools are really religious schools, like Catholic schools and the yeshiva schools. Well, they can't use, you can't use federal tax money to send your child there. That's unconstitutional.
Mm.
So there's, I mean, so there's not just one factor in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you have some. Okay. And so that's just the voucher system. Okay. Then you have the charters that are overblown now in New York City. Well, you have programs like KIPPS that has, I don't know how many schools all over the place, that talks about
mm-hmm.
planting. It's like being in the military.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, that's another perspective. They have children marching around, not sitting, staring, memorizing, learning test-taking. Right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Think
mm-hmm.
about it.
What are we? We're not creating productive human beings here.
Exactly. I call them, they're creating automatons.
You call them what?
Automatons. You know, follow orders.
Oh, follow orders. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. So, you know, there's quite a few. You know, I just talked about, you know, this show, and there's another show or a movie that's coming out that talks about, and I still want to see it, you know, where it's a testing, and you can, if you don't make it, get thrown out.
I didn't hear that one.
Have you heard about the movie that's out? I don't know the name of
Which
it. I'll try to Google it later on. But there's a movie that talks about the education system. It's about a guy and a girl, and they get chosen to be it. People get chosen to be in a school. If you don't get chosen, I think you are killed. So they're only, like, preserving the smart of the smart.
Oh, gosh. Sounds like years
right.
ago. Yeah.
Right.
Only the strong shall survive here.
Right, right. And, you know, listening to you and hearing this, like, you know, what road are we going down? What path, what rabbit hole are we have entered?
Right.
You know, not only our political situation that's going on here, but, you know, it all ties in together. And, you know, how, you know, who are the parents that are really involved, and what can the parents that are not involved and maybe don't have time to be involved, what can they do to improve,
we have,
you know, the
again,
there's
multiple layers. Okay. So I can talk about my community, because that's what I'm hands-on. And every community, especially in New York City, is different.
Mm-hmm.
So that the parents who have do this hands-on, the helicopters are demanding to get the DOE to give them what they want and get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's they're like I said, they're the ones, they're lawyers, they're business people. On their board is even Moskowitz's husband. So they're operating at that level, okay?
Okay.
Then you have your traditional public schools who have huge numbers of students with special needs, because they're not taking the charters don't take them, and you know this population is not going to take them in their school.
Right.
So you have special needs in this district. In the 46 AD alone, 40% of the children are homeless. This is like it's multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
In our adopted school that only has 300 and some odd students, 60 of them are homeless, which creates another set of dynamics. So do those people,
Please.
Those parents have the power or the voice to fight for their children?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Yes, I do.
And you meant,
and
we've, as Brownstones, we've decided that we're going to be their voice.
Okay.
Okay. Because they have to have a voice,
too. So it's almost as if,
but
I like to put out initiative. If you want to adopt a homeless child that is in school, do something. That's a PSA
exactly.
somewhere in there.
Exactly. So, what the new population that's moving in, what they've done is created schools that work for them, their children, and demanding the curriculums that they want. They actually, they've actually almost developed an independent school curriculum in the public school. mm-hmm. in the traditional mm-hmm. public schools. Meanwhile, the charters do not take as many children that have special needs. Some of them don't even have IEPs. So where
do they don't have
traditional IEPs are independent program of educational programming, and those are for children with IEPs, with special needs, whether they need more time in the classroom or they have to different learning. No, they have to meet their needs. That's mandated by the federal government.
Gotcha. Let's take a break right now. I mean, we have a few people that have, I see, chimed in. Let's see if anybody's got any questions. If anybody out there has a question for Linda De Jesus or a comment on this topic of education, please call in at 909-232-9222. Again, that number is 909-232-9222. And press 1 if you have a question. Okay, so I am bamboozled, Linda.
I'll tell you, it's overwhelming.
It's got to be. So the meetings that you're having and the things that you are doing, how much time does this take to really create initiatives or plans or even get into these
It's a lot because you're meeting. Yeah, I told you. I think I go to more meetings now than I did when I was getting a paycheck.
Right.
And then a lot of the times you're operating on their time because the people that we're interacting with, they're getting paid to do this job.
Right. That is true too.
Mm-hmm.
What is needed? I you know, my philosophy, we've known each other for quite a while. People, I used
right.
to be a neighbor on the block, and we, Linda and I, have served on the block association together for 4 years. We had a fantastic run, and I'll bring up our partner, Gary
right.
Shuford. And
I miss him dearly.
It was just, yes, me too. An awesome brother. So you know we did a lot, you know,
yes.
in that time and era, and I know the type of fighter you are, activist, and your intellect that is involved in making things happen and creating things. I mean, it was awesome to work with you too at that time. You know, but what can people do to help you? In this situation?
I asked myself the same question. In fact, mm-hmm. at our last exec meeting with the Brownstoners, I went, this is overwhelming. I can't do this by myself. It's too much. There's too many issues. It's so complex. You don't even know how to unwind it and say, stay
mm-hmm.
focused. It's mm-hmm. really hard. And I think that's why we came up with this task force or coalition. Just attack one issue.
Right.
Because there's
right.
so many. You know,
right.
And then you have the powers that be that are addressing even different issues because they're looking at budget, how many students, if you're losing students in District 16, then why are we keeping these schools open? I mean, it, each time you go, there's another layer.
Wow.
That you're confronting. And so, I mean, I sat there because we deal with the kindergarten, first and second graders, and preschoolers, and I'm going, all these schools are not going to exist in 2 years
mm-hmm.
because the numbers are not there. So, you know, but you can see it even before it happens.
Right.
And
right.
you're looking around going, oh, what can I do?
Right.
So those are good questions because that's what we ask ourselves all the time. What could we do? And what could we do within the powers that we have? Because we are a volunteer organization. And
so
the political structure in this community has changed.
Okay. Yeah. But, doesn't it change every 4 years?
Well,
for
the councilmen, they can only do 2 terms.
Like
Ponicky's on 4, he has 1 more term.
Right.
And then it's open election. Assemblywoman Robinson has retired.
Oh, she has. Okay.
Yeah. So Can I go? Can you see where it's going?
Yes.
Can you plan a board to change? So you're also dealing with another whole structure.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I was
talking. I think this is where dissemination of information. You know, I'm all about the media and putting our eyes on the target, which are things that are going on in our community, especially for Black and Brown people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. Nobody's really covering our news. Nobody's really covering the behind-the-scenes fight and the real situations that's going on. We have a lot of smoke and mirror things that are going on right now that, you know, divert our attention to other things. But it's really, you know, where change really happens is, you know, in our local communities, on the ground, and in the faces of our local politicians and the school board. And, I would like to find someone out there. I'm putting the call out, especially for my second hometown in Brooklyn. But, you know, I think it's something where we should start, you know, finding journalists that would love to write about this. I would love to create some type of video news story about education.
I spoke to Brick.
Mm, you did?
About doing something? Yes, I did. And so I know that I've got to get back a hold of her because she was hot on it for a minute, then I don't know what happened. But I do have to follow up. I know she spoke to the superintendent because as we talk about schools and she wanted to interview parents, we can't do without the permission of the superintendent.
Right.
I do know that they did have a conversation. I don't know where it went because the superintendent told me that they had a conversation.
And where do our laws play a part in this? You know, what is legal and illegal when it comes to providing equality in education for all?
Well, that comes under that rubric that they call choice.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, all the choices, and still where does it leave our children of color?
Gotcha. Well, we have a question. Let's see if we can chime this person in. Give you 1 minute. Caller 0004. You're on Ponder This.
Good morning. Oh. Your discussion is wonderful. It's frightening to hear these issues that don't seem and look like they're getting resolved. Linda, thanks for the fight. Corey, thanks for bringing this to the attention of the community. My question is, what representation do we have on the school board? And are people in our community, people of color, attempting to get those spots? Do they know the process trying to get elected to the school board? You know, perhaps that's one of the things that you could put together in what can we do, maybe a step-by-step process of how to get on the school board.
And it's really funny that you mentioned that because I spoke
about
question. I did bring it up, Pat, and none of us on my education committee can be on that board, or even we can go to an open meeting. We can have nothing to say because we don't have children in the public school. So we have to find somebody who has a child in the public school that we can nurture and mentor with the issues and then have that person.
Uh-huh.
We care. Yes.
So I can do my protocol. Did you introduce yourself, your first name and the state that you're from?
My name is Patricia Schubert. I used to live in Brooklyn, and now I reside in the state of Maryland.
Awesome. So, Linda, you can continue. I just had to do protocol.
Okay, so I was just going to say that the CEC here, which is the Community Education Council, your child must be in school. So, again, the best we can do, because all of us, because we're all volunteers, most of us are retired, so therefore our children are not in the public school system. However, we did talk about connecting with a couple of parents from our school and move them along intellectually and help them so that they are willing to be able to go to the CEC and then become active. But we can't,
right.
But we can't right. do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it does.
But we did say
that
next year, every month, uh-huh. we will have somebody there. We said we can't volunteer any information. We could just sit and listen. But we said that we would have somebody at each meeting to at least sit and listen and see what issues are on the table.
So, in terms of the other question that I wanted to know, do we have any representation at all at this time?
Where? At CEC?
On the school board. On the school
no.
board.
The school board is the school board is now the CEC.
Oh, okay.
Board
it's called the Community Education Council.
Uh-huh.
So they changed the laws and the structure of that. No, not the laws, but the structure.
Yeah, because remember before, it was highly political. It's still,
sure.
It's supposed to be less political and more parent-orientated. But it's still
political. It's political.
It is still political.
Yeah, I wanted to know the same question. How is it less political?
Like I said, I said it's supposed to be, but it's still political. The goal of it was to be less political, but it is still political, but maybe not. Well, I can't say that either. It's supposed to make it was supposed to make it less political and more parent orientated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can only be on there if you are a parent in the school.
Mm-hmm. And that's a change, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Was it always that way?
No.
Right. Okay, so that is a big change, and I would think a positive one.
I think, like I said, if we work with some of the parents,
mm-hmm.
that probably would not actually get active like that, and
mm-hmm.
help them become active. I think that's the role we can play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strengthen their skills to ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Help them do that, and not leave it up to them. I'll mentor them. Would be another word for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that mm-hmm. they know how to have their own voice.
And also, they know the process of getting on the school board. I mean,
right.
that would have to be, you know, determined step by step for them, and perhaps you all could help them with that part too.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a whole education that has
we could
happened
even work through,
that
we could
in
even
education.
We could even work through the parent coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And we can set up a CEC meeting. I mean, what do you need to know about CEC?
Let me ask you this, too, Linda. With these parents on board, you know, are they interviewed? How are they vetted out? You know, like
they had elections just recently. They have to present an argument. They have to say what they're going to do. They have to, like almost politics. They have to explain to people what they're going to bring to the board. We just had elections a couple of weeks ago.
And the people that come and vote, they are
they come from all over the district, right? So they come from all over. But who are the parents that are going to go out and go to a CEC meeting? It's not the parents who are homeless. It's not the parents with those children in need. Again, who's going to do this?
Right.
It's not even the working parent who has to come home from work and feed her children instead of going to a meeting in the evening.
Right.
So this, so you have, that just becomes a reality of our time. And just like I had, I went to the superintendent. I said, how can you have a parent-teachers meeting when the evening session begins at 4 o'clock? If you have work, are you assuming that black parents don't work?
Right.
And then they say parents don't come out. I said, well, how are they coming out at 4?
Exactly.
So, you know, all those kinds of things. How do you make things so that they actually reach the people that need to be reached?
Exactly. Let me do another call out. And if Pat wants to chime back in, she can hit one again. But we are, if you want to call in and have a question, or you want to have a question, or you have a question, just press 1. The number is 909-232-9222. Again, 909-232-9222. If you have a question or a comment for Linda De Jesus, or a comment based on the topic that we're talking about, please, you know, chime in. We'd love to have this discussion with you. So things that change seem to be the same, in a sense. And and see what's actually happening.
Okay. You know, what I think, unless we address the question of economics, how could we have a discussion about curriculum when we have the largest homeless children population ever? Where they don't have homes, they have shelters. Where's their priority?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? If those issues
right.
do not get addressed first, family counseling issues, how do you, you know, divorce is a reality of our situation, so how we make it so that these are smooth transitions. The whole concept of family can evolve.
Right.
No, it doesn't have to be what we always knew it was. Family units
right.
can be anything, as long as it gives strength to the individuals within it. How do
right.
you create that? Because until you create that, talking about curriculum, to me, becomes almost a non-discussion. However, there are systems that do work. The Maria Montessori system was developed for poor children in Italy and the homeless and the poor. Only when it crossed
okay.
the Atlantic Ocean did it become a program for wealthy kids. But the system still works. So it's the same kind. You see what I'm saying? Those will
right.
happen.
And
go ahead.
Do you think... Okay, if there are systems that are working, how is the educational system, are they looking at these systems at work, or are we being set up for...
No, they're looking at test scores, because when we make test scores, the only criteria for success?
Success is not based on testing. Success is based on life experience.
What's the criteria for a good school in the United States, especially a traditional school? What is your test score? Reading, math, that's all, the reading and math. This is on a national level, reading and math. They're not telling you what kind of learning is going on. It doesn't make any difference as long as you have test scores. And so, no, it's not a criteria for learning. Absolutely under no circumstance it is. But that's what we're using. That's what is used. So when they talk about a negative school, they're talking about the test scores. That's what they're talking about when they mean bad school.
Is the STEM program something that is effective?
Mm-hmm.
This STEM programming that seems to be a national thing, is it
right.
something that is effective?
Well, everybody,
is it
okay.
effective?
And maybe because this is just my background, I remember I started out in the philosophy department. Yes, you need the sciences, because the sciences we are going in the 21st century. But
right.
for the philosophical question, then develops the ideas for curriculum and everything else. So yes, you need STEM, but you need the arts, and you need creativity, you need sports, you need all the other things that make you a whole human being. You need the ability to ask questions and find the answers for yourself. Now we're talking about the educated learner. So yes, science is important. Yes, math is important. Yes, the arts are important. Yes, to be able to read fiction is important. Okay? They're all important to have the whole learner. So STEM
that
is
I
good.
Get. But, okay, so you have all this, but it's still based on the test scores. So the test scores
based on, and a lot of the programs, depending, again, because I didn't know New York is so diverse. So there are schools that so now they're coming out with these schools that more, instead of having numbers, they have programs. So you have this school that will focus on arts, this school that will do this. This is a STEM school. This is, again, they're truncating what should be whole learning.
Yes.
Then you have some schools that don't have an art program at all.
Right, right.
And
so
then
that
you
child
have
is.
Exactly. So to that point, next year I ordered, you know, the recorder and music book recorders?
Yeah.
I ordered
so
that the pre-K class comes in, they can learn music while they have to sit and read a book.
Mm.
And we know that music is the trigger for math.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
So, again, you can't. These things cannot be separated. And that's what the independent schools understand. It's the whole learner.
You know, it always makes me wonder. You bring up the recorders, because I remember that, and we only have about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
You know, how am I going to say this? Bringing back the old way of teaching needs to happen. More interactive and associations with the teacher. I mean, I loved most of my teachers, but the ones that I loved the most were the ones that allowed us to have free thinking. You know, I remember Mr. Hickey, he was a hippie, and, you know, we read the books that were required, but, you know, our ability to express what we felt from these books and to talk about various different things. He did not leave anything unturned in that room. We literally could talk about anything that was pertaining to the book and our lives and how we felt. And, you know, I think that's missing. If it's about sit down, like you're saying, you know, memorize this, take this in.
And don't move, and keep your eyes focused. Hello? That's not
right.
Learning.
No. No, and then, you know, my other art teacher who I loved, you know, I loved art, and which is, you know, led to my career, but I also had a sixth grade teacher who was an Elvis fan. And for some reason, when you know that your teachers have a life, it makes the classroom real in a sense. Like, we took off for Elvis's birthday, and she brought in cake, and, you know, and it's like, okay, we know a little bit about you, and that's all we needed. You know, we're in, sixth grade? So it wasn't major, but, you know, it gave a human element to our teachers and not this robotic element that may be what children experience. And then now, well, we didn't have the technology, but I can only imagine with the open and free thinking that I think teachers – loud, then with this technology that we have now, we would probably see a little less of the cyberbullying and seeing more creative uses for the Google and the sharing and the
and
you
the learning
know,
how to, the learning how to work together and share information. It was an example I was reading yesterday, and this was when one of the open classes was, in fact, it was even in a Montessori system, where the teacher was saying that she was doing, because they have group lessons and they do things individually. While she was doing the group lesson, a moth came in, and two of the students walked over to the window, discussed how they were going to catch the moth. They figured it out, then they caught the moth, took it out, let it go, and then joined the group. That could never happen in a traditional school. And yet the teacher could see it was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not what she was teaching at the moment, but it was a learning experience. And it was allowed to happen with no disruption.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice.
And you see the difference?
Yeah, totally. Totally. The kids take that in more.
Exactly.
Which is why I wonder if, you know, what are the stress, you know, okay, you have a child, I got to bring this up real quick. Okay, you have 60% of the kids that are homeless. And I got to go into the medical aspect of it, because now how much stress are on these children, not only to make the grade, but their lifestyle, and, you know, and the lifestyle outside of the school and the lifestyle within the school, and then the fact that, you know, you just have the world happen and their exposure to the world. You know, we really have to look at what our children are facing, really become sensitive to it, open our, I'm going to be metaphysical about it, open our hearts around what's really happening. And I really would just love to be able to do something to, from my place of where I'm at, to expose a lot of these issues and really help.
Corey, just to end your ponder this, you think about a place like New York City, Bed-Stuy, apartment buildings. None of this is for the people who live here. All the rents are expensive. Beautiful new apartments. And we're talking about all this homelessness. That makes no sense.
No,
there's nothing. It's nothing. And how does one of the wealthiest country in the world with all these ultra billionaires, and why do we even have homelessness?
Right.
And so
until
you can address that and look at that dichotomy, because the wealth is just staring you in your face and say, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done, people.
Yes, there is.
There's a lot of work. Can I get a final thought from you in terms of education?
In terms of education, I just think that we need to look at educational processes, educational systems that best support the whole child, that supports the child as a lifetime learner, and supports that child who says, this is nice, but music is in my heart and soul. That child has a right to education like everybody else. So we need to think about what does it mean to the whole learner. And it's not about tests. It's about education, the lifetime learner. And not letting the teacher be the vehicle of information, but allowing the child to be the vehicle of information and exploration.
Okay, everybody, you heard it here on Ponder This Radio. Linda De Jesus, I want to thank you for coming on today and having this conversation with me and with our listeners. And Pat, I'd like to thank you for calling in. It was great hearing your voice.
Yes,
I want
you immediately.
Yeah, me too. I want everybody to go out into the world and think a little bit more. Question what it is that you're doing. Question what it is that's happening. Let's question and see if we can find a solution of eliminating some of the problems that are going on in terms of our education system so that we can have children that are prospering in life and living a quality of life that they deserve. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Linda.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's another big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. We would like to thank you for your continued support and for your social media sharing of ThinkBigRadio.com. So again, thanks for sharing this show today.